Welcome back to Ask a Neighbor. My guests in this segment are many. UCI Humanities Professor Margarita Long, along with students Summer Pagaduan, Lori Sinanian, along with another involved student who wishes to remain anonymous. Renters all adjacent to the UCI campus who are advocating for relief from their Irvine company leases while they're hunkering down with their parents elsewhere amidst the early closure of the UCI campus this 2019-20 academic year. With everyone's permission, I'll introduce each guest very briefly. First is Margarita or Mimi Long, UCI professor of feminist theory and eco-documentary. Her latest project is a book entitled Care, Affect, Crack Up, Literature and Activism After Fukushima. Previous to her 2015 appointment at UC Irvine, she was a professor at UC Riverside, Brown University, and the SUNY system at Buffalo campus. She completed her Bachelor's of Arts in English at Amherst College and both her MA and PhD in East Asian Studies at Princeton. My next guest is Laura Sinanian, a graduating senior at UC Irvine with a major in English. She's a writer for Insight Magazine, a scriptwriter and anchorwoman for Anteater Television, an intern for the Newport Beach Film Festival, and the vice chair for the Student Center Board of Advisors. The next guest is Summer Pagaduan. She is a senior at UCI majoring in nursing science, currently an activist new to activism. And then we have another student who has asked to be anonymous, but will be participating with us here. Each of the students is sheltering in place in their parents' homes, a central matter in this interview. I want to welcome all of you to Ask a Neighbor, Margarita Long, Summer, Lori, and all.
Hi, Claudia. Thanks for having us.
Hello.
Thanks for having us, Claudia.
Thanks for having us, Claudia.
Thank you. And first, I just want to give my hats off to local media that deserves our support. Our media partner, Voice of OC, Noah Biasiata, broke this story earlier this month. So to begin this interview, I want to ask all three of you students, how are you guys doing?
This is Lori Sinanian. I think that after a while, you could get used to a lifestyle or anything that becomes repetitive in your life. But in this case, it's a pandemic. So there's a lot of uncertainty in the near and far future. So although uncertainty usually has a thrill to it, this time it's only anxiety inducing.
Lori, Summer, how are you doing?
I think Lori pretty much explained how we're all feeling. I guess I'll just speak on my behalf as well. But yeah, these times are unprecedented and, you know, you just learn to take things day by day. And, you know, while humans, we're built to be so adaptable, you throw us into any situation, I feel like you can find a way to make do with it. But considering what a lot of UCI students or just all students statewide are going through at the moment with the stay-at-home orders, life has changed drastically. You know, I just to name a few, you know, graduation is called off. You have to deal with your lease at the moment. And for me being a nursing student, I'm still, you know, on the edge on whether or not I'm going back into the clinical setting to do my clinical hours in order to get my degree in nursing and train to become a nurse or get my license to become a nurse. So there's a lot up in the air at the moment. And for me personally, you know, it's been something that I've adapted to. You learn to be patient, but I'm sure that there's a lot of students right now who are struggling with that.
And our other student?
Hi. I'm actually a little different. To clarify, I'm not a renter. I'm just involved with the student lease break activism. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess my situation's a bit different because of that. I have, you know, some semblance of stability right now in my life because I've been at home anyways. And I shifted back and forth between my family home where I was lodged for school. But I kind of just, you know, as they said, taking things day by day, I pretty much like had to figure out what I was going to do like for the summer. And now that those plans are canceled sort of, as far as things for, you know, career, but that's not as important as trying to like help people out who are currently struggling with even getting things as essential as their housing, you know, figured out. So yeah, I mean, I can't complain considering I'm in a much better place than a lot of people right now who are struggling with a lot of things.
Well, I want to commend you for taking up this cause, even if your skin isn't quite as much in the game as your colleagues in this activism. So it's I want for listeners really to understand that's the magnanimity of your contributing at this point. And I understand from what background I do know about you that this is what you do, and you're being super intentional at this point. Well, I want to talk with Mimi and the students, have you all talk briefly about the timeline, all of this taking place very quickly, from taking us from when UCI started to change up the distancing policy to closing the campus. Can maybe Mimi go through sort of the dateline? So we have an appreciation of how quickly the students needed to respond to some housing logistics on top of everything else.
Yeah, I was really impressed by how quickly the students responded to Chancellor Gilman's March 10th, that students should return home. I got involved with the students on programs today because I'm a member of an organization called UCI Mutual Aid, which is an informal, non-hierarchical, non-profit, egalitarian, democratic, exactly as the name says, mutual aid. Mm-hmm. Organization, and I filled out the form. It was just a Google Doc saying I have resources, I can help anybody who needs advice, or I can serve at this time of crisis. And I was put in touch with a couple of students who were being hit with this massive lease break fee.
About $6,000 to $8,000 per student.
Right. Well, they were a room group of five students renting an apartment from the Irvine Corporation. Rent was $2,935, and they were being charged 2 months' rent. So what I mean by they acted quickly is Chancellor Gilman gave the order on March 10th. On that very day, they signed what was called an intention to vacate from their Irvine Corporation apartment.
Wow.
And according to the terms of their lease and the terms of that intention to vacate, they then owed Irvine Corporation $6,817, which represented 2 months' rent plus $947 in prorated rent because they had paid to the end of March. And now they were going to have to, since they weren't able to find out that they needed to move out until March 10th, they had to pay through April 10th. So that's almost $7,000 that the five of them were responsible for. That's kind of when the timeline starts. And then Summer, I think you have a really good timeline that you've included in your correspondence with various news outlets. Maybe you want to go over what else happened after that?
Please do.
Yeah, I'm just going to start from the very beginning. So before, I guess like I'll just start when the chancellor issued those stay-at-home orders or just to go home to your permanent residence for the spring quarter. That was issued March 10, like Mimi said. Mm-hmm. And you know, in response to that, many students, aside from just me and my other housemates, we decided, you know, we should probably make a decision on if we're going to continue paying rent until the full extent of our lease, or if we're going to go ahead and end the lease early. And so my household, we decided we were going to end our leases early, but not until towards the end of March. But, you know, before then, I was trying to start a petition to see how many other students were struggling with this same issue as well. And I did that somewhere between March 10 and March 19 when the governor issued that stay-at-home order officially. And I went home sometime before finals week. And, you know, that's when I realized, you know, I'm not even in my apartment. I'm not using any of the amenities. I'm not, you know, accruing any sort of bill on utilities. So there's no point of me being there. And so, you know, that just brings up more of an urge to get, I don't know, just end the lease early, figure something out with Irvine Company, because with the governor issuing an order like this, you would think that they would do something about it, lower their lease fees, lower their rent,
adjust somehow.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, the most that I did was just initiate this petition, not really knowing what political activism was going to ensue afterwards. And it just opened so many new doors. So I think once I started the petition, it easily got over 3,000 supporters. And by March 23rd, that's when the Irvine Company released this new program known as the Resident Assist Program. And this got a lot of criticism that maybe, you know, the other students can maybe talk about. And basically what this Resident Assist Program does is for the months of April and May, tenants only pay 50% of their rent, and the rest of it is going to go towards later rent. And so with this program, you're not necessarily giving the students any sort of financial relief. You're just deferring when those payments are going to be made. But in the end, you're still going to be paying those costs in full. And, you know, that got a lot of criticism. I posted so many updates on the petition saying, you know, there's this program out there, but still it's not addressing the students' main concern, which is they simply can't afford these fees at this time. Many students are getting laid off from their jobs, myself included, and they're in a place where they have to face not only job insecurity, but they are facing financial insecurity. How are they going to pay rent when they don't even have the money to do so? And these students, you know, some of them are independent, but some of them are dependent on their parents. And for their parents who've gotten laid off from their jobs, now they're faced with this issue of having to pay for whatever their mortgage is, or if they're paying rent for their own rent in their permanent residence. And on top of that, they have to pay their college students' rent in their off-campus housing. So it just creates a much bigger problem. And there definitely needs to be a statewide order at this time. So continuing with that, we have this resident assist program that was launched March 23rd. And, you know, 3 days afterwards, March 26th, that's when the Irvine Company created this opportunity for students to fill out a Google form where they can voice their additional exceptions or considerations that the Irvine Company should be on the lookout for. And I also posted this on the petition as an update for students to take advantage of, because this seemed like it was going to be a great opportunity for Irvine Company to be open to negotiation. And so I filled out the Google form addressing concerns such as there should be no sort of financial penalty for wanting to terminate your lease early. And by that, I mean either they let the students leave with absolutely no financial penalty, absolutely no fees being charged, or they reduce it. And I got a notification in my email.
What date was that? After the 26th?
Sometime after the 26th. Okay. I know I filled it out the day of, but they probably got back to me within the next 3 days.
Okay.
And they said that they weren't able to accommodate my request. So I actually attended this virtual town hall meeting this past Friday with Irvine City Council member Farah Khan. And she actually mentioned this Google form where Irvine Company allowed tenants to voice their additional exceptions or considerations. And she said, you know, I highly encourage you to fill out that form. And if you're unable to be accommodated, I want you to reach out to me. So Farah Khan is actually advocating for these students to reach out to her in order to get some sort of representation against the Irvine Company.
So that's Friday, April 17th, just a little timestamp for this pre-recorded interview.
Yes. Okay. So Friday, April 17th is when Farah Khan had that meeting, and she addressed a lot of people's concerns, which is Irvine Company not accommodating anyone in terms of ending their lease early. So at this time, Irvine Company is doing absolutely nothing to change their policies to provide their tenants with financial relief. So let's go back to the original timeline. So I know I mentioned on March 26, Irvine Company created that Google form. So then March 27, Irvine City Council member Melissa Fox joined our cause. And we actually held a Zoom call meeting with her on that date. It was
and how did she... How did she get involved? Just so we can appreciate the context there.
So Melissa Fox, she got involved by, well, this was a huge milestone for our campaign, so to speak. Okay. Because we didn't have anyone, I think, in a political position to kind of voice our concerns. So it was great that we got one of the city council members out of
But how did she get in touch? How did that connection get made?
So I think Mimi had a lot of...
Okay.
Power.
Yeah, and I think we reached out to Councilmember Fox because there had been Irvine City Council meeting on March 24th to discuss a no evictions resolution, and there had been chatter on the faculty listserv about the failure to pass an ordinance. What was passed was billed a quote-unquote toothless resolution as opposed to the actual kind of no evictions ordinance that had been passed by other cities in Orange County. And Melissa Fox was on record as the only member of the council who had pushed forcefully for the actual ordinance, not the resolution.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we reached out to her and she responded right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So once we got in contact with Melissa Fox, she joined our Zoom call meeting with me, some UCI students, as well as other professors, Mimi included, that are part of the organization on campus, UCI Mutual Aid. And we were hoping to discuss, you know, how can we get the Irvine company's attention in negotiating on their lease termination fees? And so her input was that we should take it to social media and somehow get a publication in newspaper articles. And by doing so, that's how we would get Irvine Company's attention, because something that they really hate is bad reputation, bad publicity. So me and the other UCI students, what we were trying to do is we were going to take it to social media outlets like Twitter, or just reach out to local newspapers such as the Voice of OC, just to get some sort of publication out there. So that way people know that a company like Irvine Company is price gouging its tenants at this time. So with that, on April 10, that's when we got our very first publication by Voice of OC. And it was a really impactful article because it got over 2,000 shares on social media outlets such as Facebook. And through that article, Noah, the author of that article,
right,
he reached out to me saying that there was an advocacy group known as the Young Invincibles that was trying to get in contact with someone from any student from UCI. So he connected me with someone from this advocacy group. And, you know, they're currently a part of our campaign, or rather we're a part of their campaign, because their campaign is on a much bigger scale. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get Governor Newsom to issue a statewide order to provide students with this opportunity to leave their leases with no financial penalty. Another publication as well, on April 14, the New University, our on-campus newspaper, mm-hmm, published an article on the Irvine Company as well.
Well, for those of you who just joined us, my guests are UCI Humanities Professor Margarita Long, along with UCI students Summer Pagaduan and Lori Sinanian, and another one who will remain not identified. And we're talking about their collective action to break leases with the Irvine Company in the apartments adjacent to the UC Irvine campus. So that's the timeline that you've put down. Is there more to that before we talk about these really sizable institutions that you're contending with right now? Are we good on the time frame?
Can I comment?
Yes, please. Is this Lori?
Sure. Yes, this is Lori. I just want to comment on one of the timeline
yes
that Summer mentioned. The rent assist program that she mentioned, I just want to reiterate for our audience that it doesn't have anything to do with the termination fee. It's just to assist those who are planning on living there. But when we're required by Governor Newsom to shelter back at home, then obviously a termination fee is what we are seeking, not a rent assist program. So the Google form that Irvine Company created and that Summer mentioned, there's one question that requires you to put the exact date for when you are able to pay back the monthly dues.
But really?
It felt like a punishable asking, since the not a thought that crossed our minds ever. So to be required to pay back the high cost, it feels unconscionable.
Yeah,
I agree, it's unconscionable. And I think we really have to just pause for a moment, and this is Mimi, and think about the irony of this huge corporation telling students that they should fill out a Google form. And then when the most high profile member of our organization fills it out, the reply is, "I'm sorry, we cannot accommodate you." Mm-hmm. Which is just another version of what the people at the Irvine Corporation have been telling students when they call, "Sorry, no, it's business as usual."
Yes, and I want to call out this institution, the advantages. There's not just deep pockets in this corporation, but there is a monopoly on leaseholds in the city of Irvine, and certainly strictly around the UC Irvine campus. So there is in this moment where we're all, the discussion is about sharing the burden of the COVID pandemic, that the deeper your pocket, the more, the further down you are able to reach to contribute to the community as a whole. So it's the aspect of what assets they have in reserve and the fact there's no other leasehold company they're competing with in the area. It's really quite incredible. Now, well, that's part of the backdrop, as well as now I'd like for you to talk about how the Vice Chancellor representing UC Irvine, Vice Chancellor of Student Affairs, Willie Banks, there have been a number of communications that come from him. There's part of his language is he speaks in the first person singular. I'm sort of picking up on that theme. He doesn't say what we, the university, are able to do for you, but he's also he's not giving very specific kinds of assistance to you all to act on, nor does he see does he weigh in with the more formidable way of you to make your cases in a collective way. He's talked about how individually all of you can deal with this in this asymmetric relationship with the Irvine company. Maybe you would like to talk about the kinds of communications that you've had with the Vice Chancellor of Student Affairs, Willie Banks. Well, Summer, let's let you start.
So, I don't know, my experience with the Chancellor, Willie Banks, is very brief. Really, my only experience communicating with him is through an email asking him if he would be willing to join our Zoom call that we were going to have with Irvine City Council member Melissa Fox. And pretty much what he sent out was an email that he copied and pasted and sent to the other UCI student activists. So it was very impersonal. It was more so just we were in contact with the Irvine company regarding negotiating on your lease fees. But, you know, they say they're open to negotiation. However, they haven't come out with any sort of statement reflecting what they've said. So, yeah, I mean, as far as my experience with Willie Banks is he really didn't do much to help. He kind of just gave me the contact of his intern or secretary or whatnot and just go from there. But it just seemed like he wasn't willing to go a step further and represent the student voice against Irvine Company. Maybe Mimi can share a little bit.
Yeah, he copied me on the email that he had sent to you, because I'm the one who initially contacted him. I reached out to my dean, and I said, listen, I'm trying to act as an informal faculty advisor to these students who are really having a hard time. This is a major issue for their well-being. They cannot jump into the challenges of online learning if they're all worried about running out of money and their parents being jobless, as so many are. So I contacted him, and he replied to Summer that he said, the Irvine Company relayed to us that they would develop a plan to address such concerns. The Irvine Company would be in the best position to discuss how they may be planning to deal with their housing lease contracts. Please feel free to visit UCI's coronavirus website or the Student Affairs website for a list of resources. So I tried to, you know, appeal to his human side. He has such a friendly face when you see when you look at his website. Mm-hmm. And I said, listen, you cannot be sending them to a website. They need to hear from you personally. We realize that you have no control over what the Irvine Company does, but this is Student Affairs. You're the Vice Chancellor of Student Affairs. And he said, again, in another email, UCI reached out to the Irvine Company and they indicated a willingness to work with their renters to a certain degree. My suggestion is for the individual students to reach out to the Irvine Company directly. So we've got these two powerful players, the university on one side and the Irvine Corporation on the other. They're in conversation. They decide they're not going to make any kind of official big announcements about what students can and cannot do. But individual students can reach out to the Irvine Corporation directly. Well, what happens when that takes place? They're told, I'm sorry, we cannot accommodate you.
Right. Well, that's my concern is it's in his email to you. My suggestion, it's not the policy. He's not speaking for the UC Irvine administration. It's interesting he puts it that way. And that when he refers students to the website, and I don't know if it's because the website's, I don't know, maybe the students can tell us if
there isn't anything changed on the
over
website.
The month, but when I looked at the website in preparation for this interview, I was finding it no help at all to get resources to deal with the pandemic for off. I mean, if you were on campus, you're kind of covered, and they're covered with their rents that are, you know, they're not going to be able to make on campus. But off campus, there's no mention. It's a non-entity anywhere on that website. I couldn't recognize your group there anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think both the university and obviously the Irvine Company have essentially played hot potato with us, sending us back and forth. And the sort of form that they asked us to fill out, you know, to like fill out our comments and concerns, you know, that's more for us than it is for them. They really obviously don't care, as demonstrated by the fact that they haven't been able to communicate with us or cooperate in really any way. So the form is there for them to posture as them, you know, being cooperative with us and listening to the voice of the community. But obviously, that's just a veneer. I could care less what we think, what we're dealing with, what problems we have. And, you know, the kind of sort of ridiculous, like, form that they want us to fill out, this is, like, doesn't help anybody. And it's not there to be, like, taken up to anyone up top for them to change anything, obviously. It's there for us to write out our feelings, and then we'd be like, okay. And they can let go and just never talk about it again.
I think that's a good point, because this is Lori. There's like psychological reassurance, I'm sure, when you've like completed the survey or you're, as you said, like writing out your feelings. It almost feels like you're talking to a human being. So it's a really odd way to cooperate with quotes on the word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with what Lori was saying, it seems like the Irvine Company is just providing its tenants at this time with a mechanism to voice their concerns, of course, exclusively in text through email, but they refuse to get on the phone with you. You can try calling your manager at the leasing office, and they can try to, you know, make negotiations with you, such as setting up a payment plan. But in the end, you're still paying the fee. There's no negotiation as far as reducing any fees go, or completely, you know, removing those fees completely. And whenever you try to get in contact with someone just from a leasing office, you can try asking them, hey, can I speak with someone higher up in the chain of command? And they'll say, sorry, we're not allowed to give you that information. And so it becomes this problem of how can you even negotiate with the Irvine Company if you can't even talk to someone in a higher position of power that can actually make those changes. And me and other students have attempted to, you know, reach out to maybe the CEO of Irvine Company, Donald Brent, or maybe the president of Irvine Company Residences, Jim Cron. But every single email that you can find on Google, or just trying to find some way to contact them, trying to get that contact information, it's impossible.
And so what was that full name again? Jim Cron?
Jim Cron.
He's the one who signed the initial PR Goodwill Resident Assist Program.
Okay.
Announcement on March 23rd.
So Mimi, the UCI Mutual Aid, what tool do they have, you have, or other tools to get the UCI administration? You're not asking for them to part with cash, which I understand all the campuses are hemorrhaging money now with all the adjustments being made in the pandemic, but there's leverage. It doesn't cost money. It's leadership. It's leverage with a local leaseholding company to be a better community member. Is there any way to work up the channels to remind the campus that the UCI administration of the leverage that they have?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would have to say that I don't know the answer, but what I've been learning from the students on this call and the other ones with whom I've been in touch is that the most important thing is the tenacity and the sense of justice that they have shown. You know, Summer is updating change.org petition every couple of days.
We'll get to that.
She's got ever widening circles of connections. It's just been thrilling to watch what the students have been able to do. And I have to say, listening to them talk about that they're, you know, an English major or a nursing major, it gives you hope for the future, because these are the folks who believe not that someone worth $17 billion, namely Donald Bren, should call the shots on what happens in our life. But we, our community, needs to be in touch and really help each other at times like this. So Claudia, to answer your question about what the university can do, you know, I think we're in a tight spot, because the more you learn about the Urban Corporation, the more you realize that it's been a benefactor to the university in an unprecedented way.
Unprecedented.
You know, the entire campus was 650 acres were sold to the University of California for $1 at the start of this university's history. We've got the Donald Bren Event Center. We've got the Claire Trevel School for the Arts, that's named for his stepmother. The Donald Bren School of Information and Computer Sciences. It's all about philanthropy. It's all about, if you just Google his name, the owner and chairman of the board of a private company called the Irvine Corporation, you find out that Donald Bren is the wealthiest real estate developer in the United States with a net worth of $17 billion. And he's number 32 on the 400 list. His executives are not accountable to our students. And from what we've seen, the administration and the university are in touch with his corporation, but they're not in touch with our students.
So I want to talk too about that interface. In preparation for the interview, Mimi, you offered some background, and I want to bring that up now about how there's language that's come out of the administration at the University of California, Santa Barbara, where they're talking about the force majeure kind of language that you've talked about with other contributors locally working on behalf of the students. The force majeure, the memo from UC Santa Barbara has I don't know if you know who the author is or the origins of it. The draft, I didn't have any sort of identifiers with that, but it's such convoluted reasoning about the force majeure. I'm just going to just go through a few quotes of this, and all of you can respond to sort of the...
Yeah, well, just for background, so this memo that exists as a Google Doc, I think I've sent it to the students. I'll send it again, but... it was linked to from an article that was in the UC Santa Barbara student paper.
Okay.
So there's an article with a headline, you know, should I stay or should I go? And it's addressing exactly the same issues that our students here are dealing with. So the Daily Nexus is the name of Irvine's student newspaper. Should I stay or should I go? UCSB students grapple with Isla Vista leases after university recommends moving home. This is an article that came out on March 17th, and there's a link to a memo which says about housing options. And a friend of mine who's an activist showed me that if you look on the memo, which we can also link to because it's still up there, you go under file and you go under email collaborators, there's a list of 12 people, including KMAP Property Management and other developers. So what the memo seems to suggest is that people are writing, we need to look up the name of the person who wrote this article. Students are being told that, no, you can't use the force majeure clause, which is the clause basically that says, if an act of God makes it your apartment uninhabitable, you can break your contract. Students are being told that they have no hope of invoking this legal clause. And it turns out that the half of the authors of the memo are not parts of the members of the university community, but they're members of the for-profit developer and apartment leasing community.
Which in that setting, there are multiple owners, but they're working concert. So I wanted to bring out some of the language there so people know how convoluted and tortured the language is, that to the point of that the acts of God are more finite, they don't fit the pandemic situation, without really, you know, explaining that. And they're sort of dismissively proclaiming, and I'm going to quote now, the historic underpinnings of force majeure have fallen by the wayside. That's their call again. And then again, their language, force majeure, is now little more than a descriptive phrase without much inherent substance. Its scope and application, for the most part, is utterly dependent upon the terms of the contract in which it appears. If no term in your lease for force majeure situation, there's no legal basis for a tenant to end his or her lease on this basis. So there's like these vacuous pronouncements without any kind of specific interpretation. It's amazing that this kind of document can, it's sort of like, it's gonna snow. It's gonna snow everybody who's trying to mobilize to make a bad situation a slightly bit more manageable.
Yes, well, I think it's interesting that such an article never even appeared in the UCI student paper.
So that's what's interesting here, is that how the UC system overall is responding. There's leverage, as I was talking about, locally, but you know, statewide, it's in this August body is responsible for so many, I want to say young people, but so many people. I'd like to know, when Lori or Summer brought up bringing this to the governor's attention, is there in the you can tell us what's the change.org actual link, and I'll be sure to put that in the podcast summary for this interview, is what steps are you taking to get this on Governor Newsom's radar, because he seems to have a pretty decent command of details we're seeing on his daily press conferences.
This is Summer. So I am still working with that advocacy group, Young Invincibles, to get a letter sent out to Governor Newsom so he can issue this statewide order. Right. I don't know if I can disclose any information regarding, you know, how we're going to get that letter sent out to Governor Newsom yet. But, you know, we're just trying to reach out to as many like local officials to hopefully get them on board with signing a letter from them personally. So that way we can push that forward. And it's this whole issue of students having to deal with their leases during COVID-19 is a big issue. But in terms of what everyone has to focus on nationwide, it's most likely going to be healthcare and COVID-19. But with joining this advocacy group, we're trying to campaign for them to realize that letting students end their lease with their landlords at the moment is a much more pressing concern at this moment and can be more feasibly resolved in comparison to the bigger crisis, which is healthcare issues. So to get back to your question as to how we're going to get that letter sent out to Governor Newsom, we're just trying to band together to get, you know, senators and officials to, you know, send a letter out to him. And working out the details of that will come at a later date, but currently that's all I have right now. Right now, what I can tell you is that there's a petition on the Young Invincibles website, which I can provide a link to you as well.
Okay, well, I'll put that up in the post. And, you know, speaking of office holders with grasp of details, Katie Porter, our congresswoman's name comes to my mind. I don't know if she could, she does have a lot going on, but this is her constituency here, and she's got a whiteboard that maybe hasn't been filled out in the last half an hour that this goes up. Anybody? And so that's a suggestion. I mean, I've seen, this was way before the pandemic, when there was a grocery union rally in the city of Orange, I believe it was. And she showed up after, you know, all the flashy stuff was over with. She just came very unassumingly at that tail end of it. And her grasp of how much all of the unions had different kinds of protections was phenomenal. So it seems like here is somebody who can hotwire public attention like nobody else right now. Eyes are on this congresswoman. And I'm wondering if that's what Young Invincibles and Change.org can take full advantage of. Because this constituency is here. You're not speaking from beyond the 45th Congressional District. You're right inside it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we could speak to that. From what I saw, Katie Porter on her Instagram posted something basically repeating sharing what the Irvine company had put out as part of their rent deferment program. So I mean, obviously we're trying to do as much as we can to talk to as many people within the realm of local politics to try and get something through or figured out and get as many eyes on this from people who have, you know, wield power within the city and the area. But yeah, I think in the moment, I don't know if we, like, there's no way we can tell right now if she'll be able to help or not.
We have been in touch with her constituent liaison, Adrian Narayan, in the office of Congresswoman Katie Porter. He was supposed to be on one of the Zoom calls early on, and we just never were able to connect with him. He did send us some emails, but I got the impression that he was overloaded. Dude, we never managed to, yeah, we need to try probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to add to what Katie Porter has, you know, done for our campaign. And she hasn't done anything, you know, that significant yet to, like, get Irvine Company to negotiate on its lease termination fees or just provide its tenants some sort of financial relief at this time. But, you know, like Mimi was saying, we were trying to get in touch with her office and we were talking with Adrian, but I guess, yeah, things might have loaded up on his agenda, so he wasn't able to directly address our cause. But I attended a virtual town hall meeting this past Wednesday.
Okay.
And I think that was the 15th, April 15th.
Yes.
And it was a virtual town hall meeting held by Assemblywoman Cottie Petrie-Norris.
Okay.
And she had Katie Porter as one of her guests. And I took some notes on the virtual town hall meeting, and Katie Porter, as far as addressing the Irvine Company issue goes, she just said that her office is working closely with the Irvine Company to provide assistance to its tenants. But as far as, like, the workings of that go, she didn't really say anything in much detail. So I guess it's just, we have to wait for an update, I guess. But to this date, there's nothing being said about any sort of negotiation.
So give us the link on change.org exactly where people can follow up and assist all of you. So I'll put that in.
The URL is pretty short. We could actually just say it too.
Please do. That's what I'd like. Just to, yeah, convey it.
change.org/p/Irvine-company-Irvine-company-early-lease-termination.
Okay. So, for those of you who've just joined us, my guests are UCI Humanities Professor Mimi Long, along with UCI students Summer Pagaduan and Lori Sinanian, and another student. We're talking about their collective action to break leases with the Irvine Company in the apartments adjacent to the UC Irvine campus. So, I guess with the collective action, is there anything else, students? Mimi can add on to it, but let's ask the students directly first. What else can listeners do for you guys?
It depends, you know, if you're a student listening, obviously, you know, reach out to us, get involved. We're all pretty active on social media. Maybe Lori and Summer can give out theirs at the end of the show, but so if you're a student renter and you're in this situation, obviously talk to us, get involved. We're always looking for more people to help us out. And if you're a listener, you know, definitely sign the petition, even get in touch with us to show us that you support us. That helps us out. That lets us know how many people, how much public backing we have. And that we really need all of it, because I just want to make a comment on, like, the matter of collective action, you know?
Yes, please do.
Yeah, in this situation, you know, as students, you know, some of us in off-campus apartments struggling with countless other things, the only power really we have comes from our ability to institute collective action. You know, we really have no choice but to organize collectively against this kind of profiteering during a crisis. And this is, like, a key takeaway from the whole experience, is understanding the dynamics of power, you know, like, locally and on a wider level. The Irvine Company is a significant and very, very wealthy real estate development corporation with, you know, mountains of wealth stacked in its coffers, armies of slick corporate lawyers. And as you said, like, they have a very large share of the market, you know, definitely the largest share of the real estate market in Orange County. In 1985, they were the top corporate political contributor in terms of donations for the LA Times. And they have their own PAC, you know, which has raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for various campaigns. according to opensecrets.org. And on the other hand, like, we're just a couple of students, you know, who are like trying to fight for other kids, many of whom have lost their jobs and are now being forced to pay, you know, exorbitant fees simply to flee to their like family homes during a public health crisis. So like, this is like our only option, you know, is the only route that we can run, which will hopefully give us what we want, is to collectively withhold that which the Irvine company is ordering us to pay. In other words, you know, at least break free strike. And we can't get what we want through formal means, or they haven't been as responsive, because the formal system of power already hasn't served us. It's entirely co-opted by donors. And of course, the city council is also dealing with, you know, a public health crisis in general. So the only route that we have is going through informal means. And I personally, as one of the organizers of all this, you know, my personal view on this is that we should go forward with a lease break strike.
And what does that look like? What is that step taking broken down?
Yeah, so, you know, organizing during a pandemic, it's not definitely not easy, because it's pretty hard. A crucial part of organizing is being able to, you know, diffuse information and distribute pamphlets and, you know, other typical forms of grassroots action. That obviously requires, you know, going door to door, being face to face with other people. And that's obviously not possible right now because of COVID-19. On the other hand, you know, everyone's forced to stay inside right now. It's pretty fairly easy to get a hold of people electronically when all they have to do is, you know, go to class online and then do whatever they need to do online, unless you're, you know, essential worker or whatnot. But yeah, as far as the next steps for organizing a strike like this, I think right now the crucial step would be to be able to, you know, get a hold of people electronically, whether that's through social media or Facebook, and coalesce and show how large of a group we are. And once we have that group together, we can start moving as a single body, saying, hey, we're not going to pay this fee because this is ridiculous, or we're demanding refunds and we're not going to stop making noise about this until we get our refunds from the Irvine company. And that's as details we can get, because we still, as like I said, we're just students, you know, we're still trying to figure this out for ourselves and see what something like this would even look like. But as we work out the kinks, you know, through every day and every moment of organizing, I personally am beginning to realize like the only way we're going to get what we want is by saying either we're not going to stop doing something about this until you give us what we want directly, or we're just going to not give you what you want from us, which is the lease break fee. And that would be organized via social media, trying to get people, as like I said, in moving as one body.
So are you still getting new names? Are you, as far as participants to go on the free the lease strike?
Yes, actually, yeah, we are. So we've just gotten new students within our group that I've gotten in contact with, again, through social media. They've joined the chat that we have. Basically, it's like the organizers chat where we discuss like the daily updates and whatnot. So we've added new students to that. I want to shout out Daniela Romero. She's ASUCI internal vice president. She's been with us like through the whole process. She wasn't able to make it today, but she's awesome. She's helped out with all of this stuff and been crucial in organizing. But yeah, so we've organized with other students as well. And we have a lot of people, you know, who are not necessarily like within that chat, you know, and organizing outright, but, you know, support us and have expressed vocal support for us and would have expressed that they would be willing to help out if we were to move forward with, you know, some sort of collective action. But yeah, it's definitely something that's growing, and it's hard, you know, especially during school, because even though everyone is online, everyone's still adjusting to electronic school, I would say. Personally, it's been hard for me to figure out how to schedule everything in my day. But we're definitely seeing, you know, we got a lot of shares on that Voice of OC article. Like, I was blown away, actually, by the amount of shares I had. Someone contacted me that I knew from like a few years back saying, hey, is this you? And I was like, oh, that is me. Wow. I don't know. You read that. So yeah, definitely seeing we have a lot of like support, whether it's, you know, coming from people within our group to spectators. And I think that's crucial for what we have. I think that's really valuable.
Well, it's never, you can't ever have too much support. We're hoping that this is going to give it higher profile. The Irvine Exactly. Company has certainly refined the art of being the quintessential monopolist in this community, so that mm-hmm. over the decades they've been warding off all kinds of of activism and in every way. So is there anything, Lori or Summer, that you'd like to add to what our other student was talking about in terms of the next and these ongoing steps now with the lease term strike?
I could go ahead. This is Lori.
Yes, Lori.
I just wanted to add on to what was said by saying that even if you're not involved within this specific group of activism, there's a lot of indirect activism that's been going on social media platforms. And by indirect activism, I mean that even people questioning what's going on or writing about it online, showing distress, making memes about Irvine Company and the ridiculous termination fees that are being requested of students. It's the circulation that we want. It's okay. Kind of, it's like this effect that we're riveting off. And it's nice to see that although people aren't in direct communication with us regarding the outrageous termination fees, it's nice to see that there are people talking about it. And I think that's what we want as well. Just people talking about this issue, because I feel that Irvine Company is violating the local health orders mandated by the governor to shelter at home and social distance. They are violating those orders by forcing students to pay for their apartments, which then requires students to come into contact with each other to empty their apartments, etc.
So I want to congratulate Lori and Summer on your graduation this year. It's a major achievement. The extent of what you must not have seen coming last fall or even the winter, I want to wish everybody good luck on getting resettled on more sustainable terms. Good luck in mastering what the administration needs to do on your behalf as well.
Thank you so much, Claudia.
Thank you. Thank you for giving us a platform.
Yes, I'll appreciate that. You know, it's crucial to, you know, trying to build what we have here. And going forward, as I said, with making one collective body that can respond to things we need to carry out and whatnot.
I want to thank you all for taking the time that you have at a premium with so many plates you're keeping up in the air in these challenging times. Thank you, Lori, Summer, and our other student for being on Ask a Neighbor today.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Claudia. I want to say how lucky I am to have to get to know the students on this call and some other students as well. I find them so impressive and so full of life. And we are so looking forward to actually having a real dinner together when this is over and celebrate from each other. Also, one of the things that I learned from the students I met through Mutual Aid is that while the collective actionist money was due on April 10th, which was last week, and the letter of grievance, and they copied their deans, and they copied Willie Banks, and they said, listen, we haven't discussed this with our parents because our parents are out of work, and we don't want to make them worry. They don't even know about this lease break fee, because if we told them, it would just be that much more for their mental health. But we are writing to say that we have paid you $2,000 in lease break fees. That's all we can afford. And we think this is just unjust. I was just so inspired and so proud of that they had the dignity to say, we don't have the money and we're not going to just not pay it. We're going to send it what we do have with a letter to you. So in closing.
My guests were UCI Humanities Professor Mimi Long, along with UCI students Summer, Lori, and another student, and thank you everybody for your time. Yes, Summer.
I guess the question is very broad, but something that I am struggling with, and this is something that other friends that I know have voiced that they're struggling with, is, you know, there is no present opportunity to you know, pay a lower lease fee or to pay lower rent. Like, there are no steps that are like laid out on the table that students can take at the moment. Like, a lot of students, if they just can't afford paying, it's almost like they just have to default to ruining their credit and not paying the fees. Or, you know, now that Mimi shared that story of those students who said, hey, this is all that I can afford. Here's a letter that explains why this is all I can give you. You know, these are all just case by case situations where people have just made direct negotiations with their, you know, leasing office. So I guess, you know, it's very blurry as to what any other tenant or student out there can do in order to, I guess, take action on their personal leases. Like, there's students who can't afford, what can they do? Do they just talk to the leasing office, or?
It's a work in progress, uncharted territory. And I don't know if there's a way to go back to the Vice Chancellor, Willie Banks, and say, you've referred us to the website. We're having some we do not find anywhere on the website that addresses our concerns. And we'd like
You know, the good thing about Willie Banks is that he's having an online town hall on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
So, right. Where is the collective unit congregating to send those messages and line up appointments with the conversation with the Vice Chancellor of Student Affairs?
Yeah, I think that's been one of the main concerns, is there's just way too many platforms at the moment to, okay, I guess, like, collectively band together and take action. But there is no one platform that we can just refer all UCI students to address this concern on housing. So, you know, those who are following my petition, I try to update them to the best of my abilities, refer them to links such as the Young Invincibles petition and sign that. So hopefully we can get that letter sent out to the governor. But then we also have, you know, just voicing your concerns, making memes on social media platforms like Instagram or Facebook. And then also there's that opportunity to reach out to any one of the UCI student activists on if you want to be included in that group message. But I feel like that outlet is a little bit more exclusive. There isn't anything being publicized. It's just a matter of reaching out to the right person to maybe, you know, get my contact, or, you know, Lori's contact, or Daniela Romero, the internal vice president's contact. You know, like, it's very limited on how to reach out to us, the student activists. It's kind of just, at the moment, it seems like if you have this issue with your lease, you have to take it to the leasing office as just your individual concern. And I think that's the biggest struggle, I think, being a student and having to, you know, battle against Irvine Company with your lease. It's something that I struggled with, definitely, at the very beginning of this whole campaign. I didn't see myself being a political activist, which is why I am considered I'm new to this realm of political activism, because I was just dealing with my own personal lease until I figured that other students as well were struggling with this issue. And so, you know, I just felt like there needs to be some sort of initiative that needs to be made in order to address this much bigger concern. So, you know, we created this petition, we have all of these supporters. Now, what do we do with these supporters? How can we make an impact to Irvine Company in order to get them to hear us out? And, you know, we're doing the best that we can, trying to take it to social media, like, you know, Irvine City Council member Melissa Fox told us to. And, you know, we're just taking it step by step. Because of her advice, we were able to get an article published by Voice of OC. And through Voice of OC, we get recognized by other advocacy groups that, you know, before this advocacy group reached out to me, I didn't even know that there was going to be a letter being sent to the governor to get a statewide order issued on this housing issue. So it's very improvised, if that makes sense.
No, it does. So there's a clearinghouse that needs somehow to be set up, some kind of centralizing of all of this effort. And then I want to know, what's the hashtag that you're using? I use Twitter, and you haven't mentioned Twitter, but the other platforms. But what's the hashtag that's getting this done?
So the hashtag that me and the Young Invincibles Advocacy Group were coming up with was Release the Lease.
Okay.
Actually, one thing I wouldn't mind mentioning, in case there's a chance to use it, is that although, Claudia, you're pushing students at the end of the program to talk about a centralized organization in whose name these demands are being made, There's a way in which the change.org petition has already had that role, played that role.
Okay, it's doing that.
Because Melissa Fox told us that in the Irvine City Council discussions, which were attended by representatives of Irvine Corporation, people were talking about that petition, and people were watching it very closely. She said, "You guys, you say that you don't have the ear of the upper administration in Irvine Corporation because they won't give you anybody's email or phone number, but you can rest assured that they are watching that petition like a hawk." So that was really interesting to me.
Yeah.